Hey, kid, are you on the corner of Broadway and Maiden Lane? Back in the 1920s, this was one of the best spots to check out the ticker tape parades.
Welcome home, Wilmer Stoltz, Louis E. Gordon, and Amelia Earhart from their historic transatlantic flight.
Back in the 1920s, there was a lot to celebrate about. World War I was over, and the country was booming. Everyone was looking to buy the newest products like cars, refrigerators, and radios. And Broadway was the place to shop for it all. Radio Row was across on Cortlandt Street, where you could buy the latest models. Behind us on Maiden Lane was the city's jewelry district. Walk over to the corner of Broadway and Maiden Lane, where William Bothman's jewelry store used to be. His shop is now on 176 Broadway, but if you look down, you can still see his famous sidewalk clock, reminding you that it's time to shop. Now let's walk down Maiden Lane and head to 55 Liberty Street, on the corner of Nassau and Liberty. On the way, we'll hear what a bracelet from Bothman's really cost back then.
Just like Humpty Dumpty, I'm going up home. I'm sitting.
Look at these pearls.
Aren't you gonna thank me, baby? That bracelet cost an arm and a leg.
Don't give me that, Bill. You bought it on credit anyway.
Hey, pearls ain't cheap.
But they will be after you cash in those Peruvian bonds, right?
That's what my broker said. Wait, where are you going now?
I told you. There's a big sale on earrings at the Diamond Exchange.
What? Nah, I gotta get back to work.
Baby, I don't hassle you about your wife, so don't hassle me about my baubles.
In the 1920s, everyone thought they were gonna be rich, and no one wanted to hear the progressives moan about the money trust. Especially not our government. Presidents Harding, Coolidge, and Hoover cut taxes, mostly for the rich and the corporations, encouraged corporate mergers, and eased up on the government regulation that the progressives had tried to put in place.
The expenses of the government reach everybody. Taxes take from everyone a part of his earnings and force everyone to work for a certain part of his time for the government. I want the people of America to be able to work less for the government and more for themselves.
Coolidge and Hoover tried to encourage business growth and investments by taking Harding's advice to have less government in business and more business in government. But in the 1920s, some were starting to think that this relationship had gotten a bit too close. You should be walking down Liberty Street now. Stop at the northwestern corner of Nassau and Liberty, outside of 55 Liberty Street.
Watch it!
Excuse me.
Sinclair! I was just going to look for you.
What a coincidence, Mr. Fall. I was just trying to get as far away from you as possible.
What are you talking about?
They raided my office and found our contract. Your only hope is to get rid of the money.
Don't worry about it, Sinclair. Harding will back me up.
For your own sake, I hope that's true.
Hey, kid, let's go. Turn and walk down Nassau Street toward 55 Wall, on the corner of Wall and Williams. Make sure you cut through 1 Chase Manhattan Plaza, through Cedar Street. Liberty Street used to be the office of the Sinclair Oil Company. That's where the president, Harry Sinclair, bribed Albert Fall, the U.S. Secretary of Interior, to illegally sell him government oil fields in Wyoming for $400,000. The papers went crazy over the Teapot Dome scandal, as they called it. President Harding died before he could be implicated. But even after the long trial, they just got a slap on the wrist. Sinclair went to jail for 6 months, and Albert Fall got 1 year. The Teapot Dome scandal was the most obvious sign of how government and business had joined the same club. And now membership was open to all. For the first time ever, the middle class was starting to play the stock market. They had money to spend, and they could buy stocks on margin or credit. They could pay their broker's commission when the stock prices rose and still make a profit.
Needlessly, just when you must. Borrowed and where loans are a specialty from folks you trust. Borrow confidently from HFC.
Household Finance Corporation offices are listed in your telephone book.
Wall Street welcomed all their new clients with open arms and wallets. Investment banks started offering a wide range of services to help people invest and save, all in one financial department store. And no one, certainly not the government, was going to check that the securities the banks sold were in the public's best interest. But one thing was certain back then: as Wall Street got more respectable, no one, rich or poor, could resist the gamble.
Is there any change, mister?
Sorry, I don't have it.
But I got a stock market tip.
This for real?
Surefire. I got it straight from the source.
Fine. Here you go. What is it?
Two words. Buy Anaconda.
You should now be walking through Chase Manhattan Plaza. This was built by Chase Bank in the 1960s and later became the headquarters of J.P. Morgan Chase. They've since moved to Midtown, but the 60-story skyscraper and plaza remain a memorial to the banks and their bosses that became household names in the 20s.
I'm Albert Wiggins, chairman of Chase National Bank. With the banking services I started in the 1920s, I turned Chase into the huge multinational corporation it is today. I was one of the heroes who tried to stop the 1929 stock market crash, although I was forced to resign later after they found out I'd made a few bucks from it. Come take a seat in One Chase Manhattan Plaza and enjoy the view. It's on me.
Charles Merrill here, but I'm better known as Good Time Charlie. I started the investment bank Merrill & Lynch and transformed Safeway into a giant supermarket chain. Despite my reputation as a Don Juan, I'm considered one of the few honest bankers on Wall Street, especially after warning Coolidge about the dangers of investing way before the crash.
I'm Charlie Mitchell, chairman of National City Bank, but you can call me Sunshine Charlie. I'm the guy who invented the financial department store in the 1920s, and with my handy troop of salesmen worked hard to serve all your investing needs. Even the ones you didn't know you had.
By now, you should be close to the corner of Williams and Wall. Head toward 55 Wall Street, to the large building with Greek columns. Walk up to the steps of the building. Back in the 1920s, it was the headquarters of National City Bank, now called Citibank, and it was a hotspot for the tourists to gawk at the local celebrity. But down here, celebrities were Wall Street guys, not movie stars.
I think I see him coming out.
Nice to see you all.
Having a good day, Mr. Mitchell?
I can't complain. Sold some stock and made $1 million this morning.
Where are you going now?
I'm off to a lunch meeting at Delmonico's. They have a delicious lobster Newsberg.
You got any stock tips for us, Mitchell?
Two words. Buy Anaconda.
But the good times don't last forever. Let's hear how the people finally got some street smarts in the 1930s as we head to our next walk.